Please open your Bibles to the Epistle of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. And I'm going to direct your attention to one verse, verse 8. Here's how the Word of God thus read. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. This morning, I want to take this verse right here and use it to teach on the topic, what's on your mind. Let us pray. Father and our God, into thy hands, I commit this time of teaching. May thou be glorified as thy word is opened. Pray in the mighty name of my Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen. I was visiting Boulder, Colorado a few years ago when news broke that a mass shooting occurred at a movie theater 20 minutes removed from where I was located in Aurora, Colorado. James Ohms, a former University of Colorado medical student studying neuroscience in a PhD program, entered a Century 16 movie theater on July 20th, 2012, during the premiere of the movie The Dark Knight Rises, opened a gas canister, threw it in the movie theater, opened fire on the audience. When the dust settled, 12 persons were killed, over 70 were injured. Now, since those who I went to see in Colorado knew that I was a pastor, several questions and comments were actually addressed to me. And one that stood out to me was this rather very simple question. Someone said, Pastor, what do you think was going through his mind? I call that a million-dollar question. As Churchill once said, it is a riddle wrapped in a mystery, inside an enigma. And the answer to that question is truly blowing in the wind. And this is because our thoughts are exclusive to the person or to each one of us. With the exception of God, none of us can discern the mind or the thinking of others. We might say we do, and you see people say, I know what you're thinking, but they really don't. Someone can be living in the same house with you, sleeping in the same bed with you, eating at the same table with you, yet their thoughts towards you might not be that pleasant at all. Someone might be in your office, sitting next to you in your office, smile, compliment here and there, but in their mind, they're thinking negative about you, seeking to even take your position. What about in the church? You know, we gather here at our church here, and we do what we call a fellowship of love, where we come, we ask somebody, we say, God loves you, and I do. Yet, I truly believe that not everyone who says that truly means it. There can be some who say that, and in their mind, they might despise the person they just made that compliment to. You know, it is the exclusiveness of our thoughts that makes it virtually impossible to fully know the true nature of a person, who they are in the core of their being. No one knows who you are in the core of your being except God. And since God is always interested in changing people, Christians, which he does from the inside out, important to God is always the state of our mind, the state of our thoughts. You know, how and what are we thinking of? God wants us to truly gain mastery over our thought life, because there is a direct correlation between your mind, what you think about, and your spiritual life. And the glory of Christ is often revealed when our mind are aligned with the program and the agenda of God. So this morning, I want to use the exhortation here by the Apostle Paul to the church of Philippi, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, as a springboard to explore this biblical teaching of a state of our minds, our thinking, and to see how is the Bible calling each one of us as believers to begin to gain mastery over our thought life. Now, as a preamble, I believe that most Christians are often clueless as to what is at stake when it comes to their minds. And I truly believe that for many of us, we are very cavalier about the things that we allow into the space of our thinking. And that is a very dangerous thing to do. And so this morning, let me first set something in context for you. Let me remind you of why your thought life matters. And I want to decipher from the scripture some few things that should wake you up to the realization that your mind is directly correlated to your spiritual health. The first thing here that we can discern from scripture is this, is that our minds are the epic center of spiritual battle. You want to write that down. Our minds are the epic center of spiritual battles. You know, one of Satan's greatest desire is to gain mastery over your thought life. Because one thing Satan understands very well is this: if he gets you thinking wrong, it will get you doing wrong. That is why our mind is the bedrock. It's the bedrock of spiritual battle. Now, let's look at the first temptation that we see in the Bible, Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, we look at the story of the serpent coming to Eve. And when the serpent comes to Eve in Genesis chapter 3, and in his temptation, he said something to Eve that is very key. Because he said, when he has told Eve about the tree, he said to Eve, "You shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes shall be open, and you shall know good from evil, and you shall be like God." I want you to pay attention to that. He said, "For in the day that you eat of it, your eyes shall be open, you shall be like God, knowing good and evil." What the serpent did very well there was to implant in the mind of Eve doubt, to implant into her mind the trustworthiness of God. I want you to watch that mind game. And Eve bought into that mind game, and that was the failure of our first parents. Fast forward to 2 Samuel chapter 11, in the story of David. David, we're told, in the springtime when kings go to war, David stayed at Jerusalem. Then we're told one evening he went up on his roof, walked around, looked over at his neighbor's house, and there was a woman bathing. And guess what? The appearance was so beautiful to David. Though the Bible does not say this, but the moment David saw that image, the mind began to play that game. And David, instead of reminding himself of the holiness of God and the truth of God, instead of holding back and reminding himself that God is the God of justice, David fell for the mind game, and the rest was history, because that was his failure. And loved ones, I tender to you this morning that today nothing has really changed, that our thoughts are still the epic center of spiritual battle. And for some of us, Satan has managed to interject so much negativity into our mind that he has rendered us powerless and ineffective for the kingdom of God. And I think that is why it's important to understand the notion of spiritual battle. When the Apostle Paul described the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, he said something. He said, put on the helmet of salvation. Again, I want you to watch that. The purpose of that is to actually protect our minds from the fiery missiles of the enemy, all that he tries to play. So we put on that spiritual helmet of salvation so that we can be able to understand who we belong to, our identity, and be able to stand upon the sovereignty of God's truth. And I truly believe when we fail to understand that our minds are the praise of spiritual battle, we are prone to constantly stumble in our walk of faith. And I truly believe for so many Christians that have good intention and they keep stumbling and wondering, why do I keep stumbling all every time? You might want to check your mind, check your thought life. The problem might be in your mind. The second thing here we can discern from Scripture is this. You are what you think. That is why your mind is important, because you are what you think. Now, let me break something down for you. So when we talk about the mind, there are three different aspects of what we call the mind. The mind is included in the mind is our thinking, is our feelings, and our desires. Watch those three things. Those three things essentially makes us who we are, defines our personhood. As such, we read in the book of Proverbs, Solomon writing Proverbs 23 said, "For as he thinks within himself, so is he." As tender to you this morning, if you want to change a person's personality, begin by changing the way they're thinking. And you can look through history. Look through the history of great events that has happened. Look through the Second World War. Look through the activities of Adolf Hitler and the propaganda. He was able to use propaganda to sway and to change the mind of so many people. And when he invaded their minds, their behavior and their actions also changed. Because simply, we are what we think. That is who we ultimately become. And I truly believe when you and I do not protect our mind and we think negative, we're going to act negative. When we don't protect our mind, we begin to listen to something that is profane. We will begin to act in a way that is profane. It correlates. It's garbage in, garbage out. That is why your mind is matters, because you are what you think. You must be able to secure the mind so that the thinking will be that of God and the action will be that which reveals the light of Christ. There's a third thing here I want you to write down. Why is my mind or my thought life so important? Because God evaluates you based on your heart and what goes on the inside. I want you to pay attention to what God evaluates each one of us, not on the external, but on the internal. When we turn our scriptures to 1 Samuel chapter 16, in this very beautiful story, God sent Samuel to Bethlehem, to the house of Jesse. By this time, Saul, who still was the king, had been disqualified by God. And God told Samuel, listen, among the sons of Jesse, I've selected one who will be king over my people. And God did not tell Samuel who the person was. And as such, Samuel went. And when Samuel got to Bethlehem, the first person Samuel saw was Eliab. And when Samuel saw Eliab, Samuel said to Eliab, oh, behold, he said to himself, the anointed of the Lord. And the Lord cautioned Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Did you get that picture? God is telling Samuel here that man looks at the outward appearance. That's what you and I look. That is what we see. We see the outward appearance of a person, and we are able to make decisions or discern some things by the way they look. At times, some people look so good, we think because they look so good outside, they must be real, genuine people that have good intention towards us. And at times, some people speak so soft and so gentle, and we assume that because of that disposition, yes, there must be people that are great in nature. But God is saying, you know what? That's not the way I judge people. I don't evaluate you based on the way you look on Sunday morning. And this morning, I have no doubt that if each one of us were to be evaluated by how we look externally, all of us will probably get A+. But God does not, he's not carried away by the external appearance. God reminds Samuel that he looks at the heart. And this morning, I tender to you, the same is true when it comes to our mind. God is looking and is seeking what is going on in the inside. That is how he evaluates you. He's looking at the motives. He's looking at those desires. He's looking at those thinking patterns. He's looking at those things, because those things are truly what defines you. And that is how God evaluates each one of us. That is why God can never be mocked. You can say all these happy-go-lucky words, and God will look at your heart, look at your thinking life, and he will see garbage upon garbage. And that is who you truly are. But let me flip the strip this morning. You know, is it possible, really, Pastor Wally, to gain mastery of our thought life? Or to gain mastery of our mind? Yes, I believe it's possible. I believe in Christ, it is possible. And I'm going to give you three pragmatic ways which Scripture, I believe, validates of how you and I can begin now to control our thought life. This is the first thing I want you to write down. First of all, you must secure all points of entrance of unhealthy influences. Secure all point of entrance of unhealthy influences. You know, unhealthy influences, I compare them to carbon monoxide poisoning. You know, they are often unnoticed. They look harmless. And that is how it kind of infiltrates our mind. And again, this is often what many of us miss out. That behind those things that we think they're just entertainment, behind those things that we think are just casual, there might be influences in those things that can seep into our minds and begin to cause us to begin to think negative. That is why you and I must be able to look very closely and begin to secure this point of entry. Let me give you a good example here. Assuming you got a rodent problem in your home, you know, rodents all around the place, and you call a pest control person. The pest control person is going to do a couple of things. He's going to go around and put little glue stickers around so that he can catch those little creatures running around the place. But most important to the pest control person is securing the point of entrance. Where are they coming into your home? Because he understands that while I'm going to put the glue traps down, and they can continue to be caught in the glue trap, if I don't secure the point of entry, they will keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. But when I secure the point of entry and I put the glue down, I will probably eliminate the problem of rodents that you got in your home. The same is true when it comes to unhealthy influences. You must be able to secure wherever you believe they are coming into your mind and becoming a stumbling block to you. Perhaps it's what you open yourself to in terms of what you see. Listen, when you sit down every time and you open your computer up and you gaze on images that are truly not healthy spiritually, images that are not truly healthy in terms of your mind, you are letting into your spirit negative images that ultimately will constantly play back in your mind and begin to lead you to make wrong decisions or act in the wrong way. Or it could be the music that you're listening to. Some of us listen to the worst kind of music you can ever listen to. And those things, while to you, it might be a form of fun, just enjoying myself. But are you listening to the lyrics? Are you listening to what is being said? Are you listening to all that is coming out from those lyrics? Those are messages there that ultimately has been picked up by your head in your thinking. And before you know it, those messages are able to be transformed in your soul to something different. That is why you must say to yourself, I need to look closely at my own life. I must be intentional here. I must be able to secure all unhealthy influences, any entrance that I believe is coming in. And yes, you can do it. It requires sacrifice. And as the Lord Jesus reminded us very clearly in Matthew chapter 5, he said, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. What the Lord Jesus was teaching us there was simple. We got to be very radical when it comes to sin that can separate us from God. We got to be radical in dealing with it, in taking care of it. And I believe the same is true for every unhealthy influences that can cause us to stumble in our faith. The second thing I want you to do is this. To be able to get mastery over your thinking, you must renew your mind constantly through the study of the word and meditation. Again, pay attention to what I just said. You must seek to renew your mind. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Rome, or believers of Rome, made it very clear in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It calls us, said, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Please, I want you to pay attention between what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Be transformed. How do you be transformed? Through the renewing of your mind. And the renewing of your mind comes more you meditate on the Word of God, but spend time in the study of the Word of God. The constant study of the Word of God constantly renews your mind, renews your heart, and begin to deposit into your soul that which is going to cause you to experience spiritual growth. Unfortunately, for many of us oftentimes don't have a well-structured Bible study. We don't even have a time to meditate. We are so combated with so many things out there that we don't devote time to the study of the Word. But if you don't devote time to the study of the Word, you can know what God calls you to do. You can understand this work of faith closely. But the more you spend time in the Word, the more you begin to renew your soul, the more your mind is renewed, the more those things that are negative begin to be ejected from your mind, and the things that are positive continue to be focused in your mind. And this is why I believe meditation and scripture reading is essential. But again, it takes intentionality. It takes effort. It takes planning. It takes putting aside time every day. If you're disorganized, you're going to have a tough time in the study of the word. If you're a person that procrastinates, you're going to have a tough time in this discipline. You must be able to be intentional, constantly studying, meditating on the word of God so that your soul can be renewed, your mind can be renewed, and so will your behavior be transformed and reveal the light of Jesus Christ. But there's a final point here I want you to take home this evening, or this morning rather, and this is it. To gain mastery over your thought life, you have to think positive. Again, I want you to watch what you said. You got to think positive. Go back to Philippians chapter 8 for a minute. Chapter 4, verse 8. I want you to pay attention to what the Apostle Paul will say right here. He said, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if anything of excellence, if any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on those things. Pay attention to what the Apostle Paul is highlighting. Positive, positive, true, positive, honorable, positive, right, positive, pure, positive, lovely, positive. That is how you begin to take mastery over your mind. No matter how many signs are in front of your lawn, I tell people there, you might put on your lawn, do not solicit. Nobody, you can't even prevent all those salesmen from coming to knock on your door. They will come and knock on your door trying to sell you windows. But you know what? If they come knock on your door, sell you windows, that's great. But you got to return it back with a no thank you. There's a sign in my door that says no soliciting. Don't come to my house again. The same thing has to do with your mind. You got to be able to return to sender all the negativity that the enemy wants to throw into your thinking life. You got to return them with a positive feeling. You know, no matter how much you might feel down, you got to realize that there is a better glory awaiting you. That is what is called thinking positive. You got to be able to think positive about your situation. You might say, Pastor Wally, I'm unemployed, but think positive about it, that though you're unemployed, but you serve a God who has promised never to leave you nor to forsake you. You might say, Pastor Wally, I'm sick in my body. I feel weary. I feel tired. You need to turn that around and begin to think positive, to understand that God is a healer, that God in his time is able to heal and is able to make whole. You might want to turn it around. If you got a child that is wayward, that a child has gone out, you might want to think positive and think about the prodigal son, to understand that, yes, the prodigal your son went out, but God was able to bring him back in. You got to think positive about everything you're doing. You got to be able to think of something that's excellent, something that is praiseworthy. When you begin to contemplate and begin to think on those things, watch how your demeanor is going to change. Watch how your attitude is going to change. Watch how you're going to have an attitude of gratitude, that no matter what might come your way, that you'll be able to stand strong and stand tall, because you realize that if God be for you, nobody can be against you. You realize that there is greater within you than anybody else that's in this world. And I believe he's thinking positive. That is the key the Apostle Paul is trying to make us understand, that you got to make yourself think positive. You got to counter all the negative. You got to counter all those things in your life that wants to take you back to the point of despondency. But you got to lift yourself high, and you got to believe that God is able. God is sufficient. God has made you complete. And when you build your hope on God, on that solid rock, all of the grounds will be sinking sand, but God will keep his own and God will watch over his own. I tender to you this morning, loved ones, you must learn to think positive. But most importantly, you must learn to gain mastery over this thing called your mind. May God give each one of us the grace to do just that. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, this morning we do honor thee and thank thee for just this opportunity thou hast blessed us with. Father, may thou now glorify thy name in the teaching of thy word. Now unto thee, the immortal God, we commit this time of teaching. In Jesus' name we pray.